Hey there, friends. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 205, recording this December 22nd, 2006. That's Friday. I have with me E. Hello, E.
Hello, E.
So I'm standing here. We're sitting here in the conference room at the Xbox World headquarters because you and I, it's a couple days before Christmas, and we're like the only people here.
Just about.
It's and I figured I emailed you last night and said, let's do a show. And you said, cool, we got nothing else to do. So we're sitting here in the office, in a conference room recording the show, and I figured let's go through it. So how you doing?
I'm good.
So for those of you that don't know, my name is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I work in the live team. If you just downloaded this from iTunes and you're new to the whole Xbox thing and you just got an Xbox maybe for Christmas or you're hoping to get one, I kind of do these weekly shows that people download, and I work in the Xbox team, so I get to tell you about what's going on. And E is a frequent guest, regular contributor,
sure.
Nemesis, all of the above. And you're the director of operations for the live team, so your team keeps all the servers going.
Yep. If you're playing at 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. for that matter, it's probably because someone on my team is doing a great job.
And I want to actually segue right into that, because a lot of people don't know this, but we had a major power issue last week.
Well, I think everyone knows about the power issue.
Yeah, because
anyone who's read the newspaper, watched TV, listened to the radio.
Around the world. So for those of you that don't know, we in the Northwest about a week ago, was it Thursday night, we had a nasty windstorm.
The easy way to tell is the Seahawks were playing a Thursday night game. They've been on national TV three times this year,
right?
And each time there's been a major storm going on during or after.
That's right. So this was the windstorm. Before that was the snowstorm. What was the one before that one? It was just god awful rain.
I think it was like 2 feet of rain.
Right. Yeah. So we had a bunch of. I was out of power for 4 days. You were out
almost 72 hours. Not quite 3 days.
And you were so nice to offer my wife and I to come up and stay at your house, but we just decided to tough it out. And it was, boy, does being without power suck, as we learned.
Yeah. Entertaining a 9-year-old boy with no electricity is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Yes.
No, not myself. But
right.
Entertaining my son, he started basically vibrating right out of his skin after about a day and a half. So even though we had tons of electricity... tons of batteries and things that were charged.
Right.
He played his DS Lite till the battery ran out. Then he played mine till the battery ran out.
Right.
We had boom boxes, radios, flashlights. At least we had heat. I've got a gas fireplace and a gas stove. So
right.
Unlike a lot of people, we were at least warm and
right.
We were able to eat warm food, and we just didn't leave the one room in the house that had
fire. Did you do the same thing? You stayed in one room?
Yeah. Stayed in one room.
That's what my wife and I, you stayed in your TV room?
Yeah.
So it must have been annoying having that huge TV staring at you.
Yes.
Yeah, we had the same problem. We had no electricity. We did have telephone, landline. You don't have a landline, not because it wasn't working, because you have a voice over IP line.
Right. And of course, broadband was down, so voice over IP was down.
Right.
I had my cell phone, and actually was getting good battery life out of it, but the cell sites didn't have power.
Right.
And the generator would run dry about every 12 hours or so.
Right.
And then you'd be without cell service until they went and put gas in the generator.
Or what we assume was happening. Yeah. It was the same thing in me. It was kind of weird, because all of a sudden I'd get email on my phone, and then. And then it would, you're right, you'd hit send, you'd get a full signal, maybe hit send, and it would boop, 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 so it wasn't working. Anyway, so we were that power, but I want to talk about what happened here, because you run the operations center, we call it the ZOC, the Xbox Operations Center, where we lost power in this building.
We lost power in this building, which affected the ZOC and a whole bunch of the labs that we used to develop Xbox Live.
Right.
And we have a secondary facility that's
right.
Our backup for the ZOC in case this building loses power, there's a disaster, whatever.
Right, which there was.
The windstorm was bad enough that the secondary facility was also without power.
Oops.
So what we actually did was relocated people physically into the data center.
So this is, just so people know, if you don't understand computers or anything like that, that's the equivalent of saying that on a ship, you guys, which normally sit in the bridge, you know, you're controlling where the ship is going, and the guys down in the engine room, which is where the servers are, you basically move the entire team to the engine room.
Well, here's the bad Star Trek analogy. Everyone that used to watch Star Trek, there was the bridge, and then there's always, you know, the secondary bridge that everyone can go to. And both bridges were out of power, and we relocated to the engine room where everything actually happens. We actually do have, you know, a desk down there, a couple of workstations, so that when we're in the data center doing work, we've got everything we need. And we picked up everyone and drove down there, and people sat in the, you know, 40-degree chilled room for a couple of days.
All right, so this is what we're going to do right now, and you and I haven't talked about this. Let me see if I can do this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we can keep going. Let's take a walk down the hallway.
I have to look at this text message.
Hold on. I know. I want to take a walk down the hallway with you.
Okay.
Because you're going to get us into one of the labs here. Because I want to show people how loud it was that your team had to sit in the lab.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we're walking down the hall right now. And we your team actually had to sit in the lab room with all the servers.
Yeah, and this is, well, we're not talking about the lab. We're talking about the big production facility where Xbox Live lives.
But it's the same thing. It's a big room with a bunch of servers and air conditioning and...
Exactly. And it's got, you know, everything you need in case of natural disasters, multiple power grids, backup diesel generators.
Cheetos.
No, not so much.
Okay.
But our production facility, where Xbox Live actually lives, did not lose power.
Right.
So we never had to kick the generators in.
Right.
The only thing we had to worry about was where are the people sitting who are making sure that everything's working.
Okay. So we're walking down the hall right now.
Hi, Vince.
Hi.
Okay, it's one of our developers. We can't tell you what he works on. It's cool, though. All right, so we're actually we're walking inside one of the server rooms right now.
Yes. And this is kind of the quiet part of the server room.
Right.
So if we walk back here, here's one of the AC units.
Right. Holy cow.
And yeah, so it gets kind of loud back here. So we've actually got, in this lab, we have 3 dedicated AC units that do nothing but power the machines here in this lab.
I don't even know if we're getting any of this because it's so loud. But so basically the team had to relocate down to, thank you. They had to relocate down to the facility, and we're not going to say where it is for security reasons.
Right.
But I don't know, what does that mean?
The chilled water in here is at 100% flow and 76 degrees Fahrenheit.
Is that high or low?
Yeah, that's the chilled water, though. That's not the air temperature. There's a way to get this to tell you what the air temperature is in the room, but I don't know which button.
I'm not touching it, so we'll shut it down.
Yeah.
But so basically, when the guys relocated, they went into they had to go to the production facility, which was basically a room like this, and they had to sit there for how many days?
About 3 days.
So 3 days, they're sitting in a room with this noise.
Yes.
It's cold.
Working 8 to 12 hour shifts.
Right.
It's not designed to be inhabited for a long period of time.
Right.
You can't take, you know, food or water in there. There's no bathroom really handy. I mean, this is a production data center facility that normally has no bodies in it.
We're going to get out of here because I'm freezing.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the conference room. So we moved everybody down there. But the important thing is that anybody who was logged into Live or basically really wasn't in the Seattle area really had no idea what was going on. I mean, it was just business as usual.
Things just kept working, and we were watching, you know, the number of users on the system at any point in time, and it was pretty healthy.
So let's be clear. It's not like when you say the Zoc went down, your ability to monitor things went down. The actual service never went offline.
The service was not impacted by the power outage in any way. It was purely our ability to actually see into it and know what's going on in any instant.
Right. So you drove people down to or over to or under through the super secret area, which I want to be clear, you haven't even let me there yet.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I've never been to the super secret production facility. All right, we're back in the conference room now. So that was a little side trip there. That's kind of the power. Do you have anything else you want to add about the power outage?
I got to just give kudos to my team. We've got here in this building, in addition to the Zoc, we've got, like I said, multiple labs. There's more than half a dozen copies of Xbox Live here in this building that we use for different things. And the guys just did an amazing job getting all those servers back up and running when we finally got power back. For a while there, we actually had people basically just hanging out in the building so that when power did come back,
you guys were ready to go
to deal with it. Yeah.
So it took a few, but everything, but again, for all around the world, no one would ever know because it didn't really matter because you guys have designed the system to never be impacted by situations like this.
Yep.
Whew. Yep. Anyway, I'm glad. So are you going to get a generator? Because I think I am. That's the first thing we did when we came back. Yeah. And now let's be clear. Some of your guys on your team actually were without power until yesterday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable. So, I mean,
yeah, they went 6 days without power in some cases. And there are still people who don't have power.
Right. So. I mean, you and I went with 2.5, 3, 4 days, and it was bad, but poor people. Anyway, so if you have your power right now, go hug your local lineman.
Or just maybe give him a beer.
Or give him a beer, as the case may be. All right, let's continue on here. Let's go talk about one of the big news today that you and I were talking about is that this morning, and this is particularly for our members in the... Oh, look, someone's calling me. I'm going to kind of ignore that because I'm doing a show right now. Can't take a call.
I suppose I should have ignored that text message that came in from my girlfriend.
But one of the things that happened this morning is that the Xbox 360 warranty has been extended to 1 year, which is great news. So basically effective today or whenever you're listening to this... it's December 22nd. The one-year warranty is now the standard for all Xbox 360 consoles. So that means if you have any issues, or it's also retroactive. So that means that if you've already paid for an out-of-warranty Xbox repair within 1 year of the console's purchase, you will be eligible for a reimbursement for the console's repair charges.
Now, doesn't it say something about you don't have to contact Microsoft for the money back?
There's going to be automatic. So yeah, that's true. Is that customers have already paid for repairs in the first year of ownership can expect reimbursement checks from the amount of their console within about 10 weeks. So beginning of next year, when their first couple months, you'll have a check. So we're going to actually pay you. So
cool.
That's kind of cool. So that's big news. Let's see what else I have here. Do you have anything else you want to talk? Oh, I didn't see the PS3. Apparently, they had the first download today. Did you know that?
The first
on the download store, they had like a demo or something available for download.
There have been demos up for a while. There's a new one going up on Christmas Day, but they've had a couple of demos up there for a while. I thought they had 3 or 4 for North America.
You know what? So you and, just to be clear, you and I don't have one.
I do not own a PS3 at this point.
And you and I, you know, we've played with one. We've talked about this before. Do you want to say anything about it? Because here's the problem: whenever we say anything negative about it, people call us fanboys.
Well, anyone who's ever been to my house, good luck calling me a fanboy. I see the collection of non-Xbox video game stuff I have.
Right.
I mean, some of my machines have disappeared, you know, over time.
Well, they haven't disappeared. You kind of sent them out to pasture.
No, some of them have truly disappeared.
Oh, really?
To this day, I have no idea what happened to my TurboGrafx-16. It's just gone. I don't know if, a roommate took it, if... I have no clue. Maybe it got lost in a move.
Wow. But old girlfriend?
That's possible. My TG-16's gone.
Right.
My Sega Master System's gone. My Genesis. A bunch of the really old stuff. Atari 2600. I still have some of the old stuff. Like, my Atari Lynx, I still have. It's in my living room.
Did you love Klax on that?
I loved Klax on that.
Yes. I love that game.
Klax, Cyberball. Because I'm a huge Cyberball nut from way back. So having that's very cool. Have a few other games for it. But, I mean... I didn't get into this because, you know, hey, I work at Xbox, I'll start playing video games.
Yeah,
I've been playing games.
It's kind of in the DNA.
A long time. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's kind of in our DNA.
Yep.
I don't know if we have anything more to say about the PS3, but if you find one, good luck. Somebody had sent an email. I think you saw this email that somebody went to somebody on our team went to a Circuit City or someplace locally, and apparently there was boxes of them sitting on the floor. Have you heard that?
You have to be careful because some stores, they have just empty boxes.
Yeah, that's true.
I've heard a couple of reports of, hey, I was in, you know, such and such, and they had three,
right.
And you could just walk in. And I don't know if it's because people have given up looking.
Right. Those were pre-sold. Who knows? So maybe that's not fair to even mention. I can't find a Wii, though. Where'd you get yours?
Yeah. A friend of a friend of a friend who knows someone who works at Nintendo.
I gotta get in on that action. I'm not looking for a free one. I just want to buy one.
Oh yeah, mine wasn't free. I was able to acquire one that way.
Right. Have you played with the Weather Channel yet?
I have not. That just went live today.
Yeah, couple days ago.
So I gotta fire that up.
I mean, it's the weather. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
Maybe during a thunderstorm the controller vibrates. Who knows? I don't know.
So I will confess I like it. I've only got 4 games.
It's fun.
I've been playing it. It's a nice party console. Some of the mini games are great for you got a crowd.
And let's be clear, E throws some wild parties.
Occasionally. We might be having a few people over for New Year's, possibly.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
And I invited you, so I'm going to make that clear right here.
Right.
I don't want to hear any whining that you were not invited.
Yeah, because you tend to have these random parties I never get invited, but that's fine.
Just to be clear, you get invited, you just like to complain that you weren't invited.
So.
This is for the record. You're invited for New Year's.
Well, thank you.
Anyways, moving back to the Wii. So there are some great games that are a lot of fun if you've got enough people around. They're just entertaining.
Right.
I'm not sold that I don't think I'd be happy with a Wii as my only console.
Right.
It's a great addition to the 360 because the games I'm playing on the Wii are very different from the games I'm playing on the 360.
Right, yeah. I totally agree with you there. Speaking of games, and I want to talk about this because you and I had this conversation in the car today. What constitutes finishing a game? You know, because so let's why don't you start with the conversation?
Okay.
And where we're coming from?
I mean, at least around here, for years it's been popular to talk about, well, what games did you like enough to finish?
Right.
Like for me, there were only three Xbox One games that I actually played start to finish.
Halo.
That was Halo, Chronicles of Riddick, and Halo 2.
Oh, that's right. We did do that. We did do Chronicles. It was a great game.
Chronicles of Riddick was wonderful. But
right.
Those were the only three Xbox One games I played start to finish.
Right.
But I was struggling with this last night, trying to figure out what does it mean now to finish a game?
To finish a game.
Does it mean that I have 1,000 out of 1,000 gamer score?
Right.
Does it mean that I finished the story mode?
Right.
And I started going back and looking at some of the games I've played since 360 launch. And I've got ones that fall into each category, and I'm struggling with the definition of finishing
a game.
So there's only one game where I've got 1,000 out of 1,000 gamer score.
And that is?
That's King Kong.
Okay.
So clearly I finished
Not even Madden?
No, not Madden. So I clearly finished King Kong.
Right.
Last night I finished the single-player story mode of Rainbow Six Vegas.
Finally!
Yeah.
I beat you by like a week and a half on that one.
Well, I've been busy and things going on. But even though I've finished the single-player story mode, which is like an 8 to 10-hour story,
right?
Have I finished the game? I've only got 310 gamer score from it, and some of that is from non-single-player stuff.
Right.
But I finished the story mode, so I kind of feel like I can say I finished Rainbow Six Vegas.
So the question that I'm going to ask, you know, that we're going to ask people out there listening, what constitutes finishing a game?
Yeah.
Is it just finishing the single player, you know, what people call the campaign?
Yes.
Because like you and I are talking about, some would argue that if that's the case, then I haven't, quote-unquote, finished Gears of War, because I've done the whole thing co-op. Tycho from Penny Arcade and I did the whole thing in co-op.
Right.
I've never played this thing. I mean, I finished some of the levels in single player, but it's basically the same game.
Whereas I've finished the whole game in single player, I got distracted and haven't finished it in co-op yet.
Right.
Co-op is such a big part of that game, there's part of me that almost doesn't feel like I've finished it yet, even though I played through the whole story mode solo. And another great example, LEGO Star Wars 2.
Yep.
Great game. Everyone around here was playing it. I sunk a ton of time into the single player, and I got, you know, I know I've got Xbox.com up. How much gamer score?
You can actually call it up right now.
Except I have to sort through all the different games I played. LEGO Star Wars 2, 270 of 1,000 gamer score, 8 of 29.
So does that qualify as finishing the game?
Well, I played through all three episodes.
Right.
And I finished episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
And then I started going back through the game again on free play and getting, you know, some of the things I couldn't get going through the first time and getting extra bricks and all that kind of stuff. I kind of finished it,
mm-hmm.
but you could easily argue that either way. I think that you didn't because you didn't do all these things. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what people think.
I'm kind of on the side. I fall on the side of if you finish the story mode, you've played the game. You finish the game. I mean, but
like with LEGO Star Wars 2, when there's so much stuff that's kind of outside of the main story mode that you have to do in free play,
right?
What about in a game like that? I don't know.
That's kind of a tough one because we all know how the stories end. We all seen the movies a million times. So, so anyway, so that's an interesting concept. I wonder what people think about that, though. So finishing games, who knows? Who knows? All right, what else you want to talk? You want to talk about the Halo 3 thing?
Yeah, let's.
Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
So for those of you that don't know, if you go up to Marketplace, there is a brand new, if you have high def, there's a 720p and 480p version of a trailer available. You can actually go to Xbox.com and download this as well.
Actually, I think technically it's not a trailer. It's a VODOK.
A Vidoc. Yeah, I know. That's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Bungie plays by different rules over there.
Yeah.
Frankie and the company, they play, and Sketch, they play by different rules. So it's a Vidoc, whatever that is. What is that?
It's a video documentary.
Video documentary. So you go ahead and download that. Apparently, you can get some good glimpses of some never-before-seen stuff.
Yes. The key to remember when you're reading this, though, and Bungie calls this out big time on Bungie.net, is everything in there is unfinished.
Right.
The graphics, the HUD. Don't take anything from that game and go, oh, this is what Halo 3 is going to look like.
Right.
Because it is not.
And that's why a lot of people don't like... A lot of publishers don't, or developers don't like releasing stuff for, because everyone goes, oh, that's done. It looks like blank. And they sign. They kind of just make their whole mind up about it.
Right.
Anyway, where were we? Well, we're just cooking along here.
Halo 3 trailer. What's next?
What's next? What is that? Oh! I want to talk about Xbox. So one of the sessions that I've done, and I was explaining this to you, is Xbox 101, which is kind of this new feature that I've done on the show for the past few weeks, and everyone sent me in great comments about it and added some things. One of them is, so Xbox 101 is really around, I've seen new people coming on all the time, downloading the show and want to know, basically there's a lot to learn about the dashboard and the Xbox 360 system and Xbox Live.
Yes.
One of the questions is, your gamer tag is?
E.
E. E is single letter, E. And a lot of people go to your gamer tag and say, well, how come I can't see any of his games, but he's got all this gamer score? So why don't you explain why?
Okay. So one of the things we did when we built Xbox 360 and when we enhanced Xbox Live for it was we added a ton of privacy settings.
Right.
Some people like being open to the world so that everyone can see what they're playing, when they're playing it, what they've played historically. And some people don't. That's a very private thing they don't want people seeing.
Yep.
In my case, sometimes, you know, I might get a game 2 days before it goes on shelf.
Right.
And so if you went and looked at my profile, you'd be able to see all the achievements for that. It wouldn't be fair to our partners if I'm exposing, you know, their secret stuff to customers, you know, 2 days before and ruining the surprise.
Right.
So sometimes my stuff's set to private, sometimes it's set to public, and I'm fiddling with it all the time. It's really easy to change, though.
How do you do it?
You can do it from the dashboard. You can do it from Xbox.com. So since I have my laptop in front of me and not my console, I'll tell everyone real quickly, here's how you do it from the web.
So if you and I want you to talk about what the different levels are as well.
Sure.
Okay.
So log into Xbox.com with your linked gamer tag. In my case, it's E. And it's going to take you to your My Xbox page.
I'm going to go over and do this with you, so go ahead, keep going.
So on the kind of the top left, you'll see your gamer card. There's a bunch of news around what's happening, games that are coming out. And on the top right side, it says My Xbox. And you've got options like View Messages, View Friends.
Mm-hmm.
One of the options there is Manage Profile.
Mm-hmm.
So click on Manage Profile. And where that menu was, you'll see a new one called Gamer Profile. And the second setting there is Privacy Settings. So you click on that. And it takes you to a page where you can see all your current privacy settings and also modify them and then save them, and it will flow down through Xbox Live to the console and take effect.
And out to the web, obviously.
Yes. So there's a couple of different options. The one that specifically affects can you see what games have been played or not is the third one down. It's called Played Games.
Mm-hmm.
And the description is decide who can see your online achievements and game history in your gamer profile. And you've got three options. Everyone. So anyone in the world can go to the webpage, you know, live.xbox.com, WAC member, WAC E, I think it is,
yep.
And see what you've played.
Right.
Second setting is friends only. So people on my friends list can see my games played, and anyone not on my friends list is going to get blank.
Blank.
And the third option is blocked. I need or want to keep all this stuff secret, so nobody gets to see it.
And that's why you have yours set to, like, I can't even see it sometimes, because I'm on your friends list.
Right. And I had it unblocked. I've got it on friends only right now because you were taking a screenshot for something the
right,
other day.
Right.
So I had to go in and change that. You can also do this for other things as well. For every privacy setting, and there's five of them, you have the choice of everyone, friends only, and blocked.
Right.
So you can do that for played games, for online status, meaning I just want to see if this person's online right now and what game they're playing. For communications, who can send me voice, video, text messages. Gamer profile, who can see things like your motto on your gamer card, and member content, which is when we have user-created content, That's the ability to say, you know, I don't want to see anything that some other person, as
right.
opposed to a game publisher, created, because I don't know if anyone's, you know, vetted it and made sure that it's not obscene or it's not going to offend me, that kind of thing.
So there you go. So that's why when you go to E's gamer tag and go to his gamer card, that he, you can't, that's why you have gamer score. Now, everyone will ask me, well, how come, Major, you don't do that? Because I have a totally separate gamer tag that I play under.
Yeah, and most of the time I'm honestly either A, I'm too lazy to do that, or B, I'm so used to being connected all the time,
right,
that when I log in to a different tag or when I do something that's not on Xbox Live, like play on my Wii for a while,
you feel disconnected.
Yeah, it's like, well, people can't get a hold of me. I can't see what other people are doing. It's just kind of odd.
So one of the things that I thank you, Eve, for that. So that's Xbox 101 is your Xbox 101, your privacy settings.
Brought
to you by. I do want to bring up one thing that just landed in my inbox today, and then we're gonna. I have an interview that I want to talk about. The gastronaut interviews with Small Arms. You play Small Arms?
Oh yes.
Let's talk about that in a second. So Lost Planet Extreme Condition. There's a launch event in California. I don't know if you've seen this, E. Have you?
I do not think so.
Let me send you the URL, since we're both sitting here on Messenger, and you can read along with it. So if you're in Northern California, specifically in the San Francisco region, there's a Lost Planet event, and let me find out when it is. First of all, you have to be 18 and over. So let's just get that out of the way right now. So if you look at the Lost, basically what it is, it's Thursday, January 11th, from 8 in the evening to midnight, and it is the Capcom launch party for Lost Planet Extreme Condition for the Xbox 360. It's hosted by Capcom. Attendees must be 18 years or older, open to the public, and it's in the Concourse Center East Hall, 627th Street at Brannan, San Francisco, California. So.
Oh, crap. That's right in the middle of CES.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about CES later, so we can't go.
Yeah.
So if you can't go to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, that's fine. If you're in San Francisco, you can go to this event. So I'll put a link on my blog to see if I think Capcom has it posted on their site. So this is just all the details that I have. So did you know about this?
I did not.
So that's going to be cool. So actually, well, you know, I'm not going to say this, but Lost Planet could be one of those games that's hiding behind the hidden games.
Well, I certainly wouldn't know anything about that.
But, right.
Lost Planet is a very good game. I've been looking forward to that for quite a while.
All right, so there's a little bit of news and bit for you. I want to talk about, last week I didn't do a show because of the power outage.
Right.
And then I apologized and did what I could do. But I actually did an interview with the guys from Gastronaut Studios, and they do Small Arms. You played Small Arms.
Yes, played a lot of Small Arms.
What do you think of it? Be nice.
No, I like it. I really enjoy Small Arms. It's another one of those really fun games to... It actually reminds me kind of of Super Smash Brothers.
Right.
Get a couple people on the couch, just hang out. I've played it a bunch with my son and some of his friends. I had a couple of friends over during Thanksgiving. We spent quite a few hours playing that. It's just a fun, kind of simple, shoot 'em up, beat 'em up kind of game, but it's enjoyable.
So I want to play that interview. I went over there with Jacob, Don, and Misial, I believe is his name. He's the artist. And they let me hang out. So let me just, I didn't tell you the story. So their studio is about the size of this conference room.
Yikes.
And they're all jammed in there.
So Gastronaut is not that many people.
No, it's a one room operation, and these guys are churning out some great games. And so I'm going to make you listen to this, but they've actually done another game that you may have heard of. So here's the interview for Gastronaut, and these are the guys that did Small Arms. Thank you, E. Here you go. All right, I am over here in Seattle at Gastronaut Studios with the three geniuses behind Small Arms. Hello, gentlemen. Why don't you go around and introduce yourselves?
Hey, this is Don from Gastronaut.
This is Jake from Gastronaut.
This is Misael from Gastronaut.
All right, so I'm glad you guys had me over here. When we were talking about doing this, I said, we could either do it over the phone or I can come over here and hang out with you in your cool studio. First of all, I want to just describe your studio a little bit. It's probably like a 30 by 30 room with huge windows and two desks and a bunch of Xboxes and big TVs.
Yeah.
So is this your average independent game studio, what it looks like?
Oh, I have no idea. But we've grown up a little bit since we started, and we got, you know, sort of a nicer TVs than we originally had, and our couches and things. But a lot of people expect us to be actually in a garage or our parents' basements or something. But we do have an office. And,
so instead you're in your parents' attic.
Yes, right.
But I want to talk to you. First of all, I want to go around and ask you guys. You guys are the brains behind behind Small Arms. I want to ask you how you got started. How did you come together? So give me a little bit of backstory on what you guys are doing. I guess we'll start with you, Jacob.
Sure. I'm the founder of the company. I started the company quite a long time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was actually in this closet off of my apartment that served as a pretty nice office. And that was pretty much me making the game Fuzzy Fever for quite a while, which debuted on the original Xbox Live Arcade.
I remember that one. You had to move all the blocks around.
Yeah, it's kind of a Bomberman meets Puyo Puyo style.
With that elephant crazy character.
Yeah, an aardvark.
Aardvark, sorry.
Sort of.
purple.
Abstract, yeah. and then after that was finished, we started looking at what was going to be possible on Xbox 360 and got Small Arms greenlit for it. And that was when I went about finding some more people. So Don was actually in the talks with me early on where we were trying to design Small Arms. And he's a friend of mine from way back.
Right.
We used to do business programming together.
Right.
Consultants. And then we hired Misael as an artist for us.
Uh-huh.
A little while into 2005. So then we've just been hammering on Small Arms until recently.
So you guys are, I mean, you wrote the game.
Yeah.
So everything happened in this room.
Yes, everything here. The engine is all from scratch for
right.
this. This is actually, Small Arms runs on the same engine that Fuzzy Fever had.
Right.
They're pretty much the same technology-wise, but Small Arms has all the crazy 360 shaders and...
Right. All that cool
other,
stuff that,
other you can, niceties.
That you can plug into.
Yeah.
So you talked about, Jacob, you talked about getting greenlit. What is that process like that you can tell us a little bit about for those people that are listening? The reason I ask is, you know, this week we announced the XNA, which mm-hmm. is where people can, like yourselves, you know, that probably would have made your job a little bit different 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, it might have. It certainly might have. Especially if it came in before I started developing the technology.
Right.
So the greenlighting process is, it was lengthy for us. A lot of it was kind of going to the, and it also helped that we knew people from the original Xbox Live Arcade game that we did.
Right.
So we had a direct in there. And a lot of it was talking about different ideas that we had for games, mm-hmm. trying to listen to what they wanted on right. 360 Live Arcade and trying to find a good fit. And then, you know, we looked at Small Arms as being, you know, something that they wanted and, well, we really wanted to make too. It's just, possibly the most fun game we could have worked on.
Right.
So we then got together a lot of design documents and demos of the technology and what the game might be like. So it took quite a few months.
So it's dramatically different from Fuzzy Fever, because Fuzzy Fever was puzzle based and you're moving things around. You're going balls out shooting stuff here. So
yeah. This is it's definitely a different game in theme, but it's also a party game, and that right. was what we were going for. I just really like making these four-player games. You can just get a bunch of people together and sit on couches and play together in one room. And at the same time, both of the games have had very robust Xbox Live support, so you can sort of do the same thing with friends across the country.
Right, or around the world.
But they share that, the four-player manic action. Just you do different things in each game. Small Arms, you do a lot of shooting, and Fuzzy Fever, you match blocks.
You match blocks. I think a lot of people like shooting things.
Yeah, and the shooting things actually just made it a little bit easier to figure out how it was going to be fun.
So there's people listening right now that have downloaded my show that may not. There are some people that haven't downloaded the game yet. So it's up on Arcade. Let's. I'm going to give you the chance now to kind of explain it to somebody who's a newbie.
Okay. Well, Small Arms is primarily a multiplayer game in which you have up to four people who can fight in pretty claustrophobic arenas, just shooting the hell out of each other.
Right.
It's sort of a multiplayer platform shooter. Where you?
I can dub. Okay.
Sort of a one screen deathmatch.
Right. All right. That's cool. Now, so I want to ask. I want to ask Don. What was your role in the process here?
Yeah. So I pretty much moved out to Seattle here to make this game.
From where?
With Jake. I was living in Boston at the time.
Oh, really?
When Jake and I started talking.
We got to talk about that because I'm from the East Coast too.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, Jake is also from the East Coast.
Oh, really?
We met originally in Washington, D.C. The company started on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. and then moved to Capitol Hill.
So now you're Capitol Hill, Seattle. That makes sense.
We sort of started hammering out some of the ideas for the game when I was still there over the phone. In the evenings,
mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't turn it down to come out and work on it.
So how much of that game that you hammered out in the early days are we playing here? Are there certain things that aren't here? Or how?
I think what we've got now is a much better game.
Right.
We originally designed the game to be something that we knew a small team could make.
Right.
So we intended that that you know characters would be sharing weapons. Our original idea was sort of to do power suits, mm-hmm. sort of a more like almost Mega Man style. I guess just like a full suit, not just the gun arm.
Right.
But as we started working on the game, we decided there's just so much more appeal to letting these characters have their full form and just switching the guns out. Visually, that's the biggest change that happened. And also, I think the game just evolved a lot as we were developing it to be more of a multiplayer deathmatch than it was originally.
Now, when you guys started working on this game, it was right after you wrote Fuzzy Fever, or was it? I mean, how long has this been game in development? Just to give people an idea of the scope of the work involved.
We worked on the game for about a year.
Okay.
From the time we got it approved to the time we released it.
So you spent basically all of 2006 working on this title.
Yeah.
And I know before I started recording, you started telling me a little bit about E3. So tell me what that was like, because that was the first time you guys had been at E3.
Right, yeah, it was our first and last E3.
Right.
And Small Arms was on the show floor in an earlier flavor.
And how much has changed since then?
Quite a bit, yeah. But visually, it looks pretty similar, but gameplay-wise, we got a lot of feedback from people about how the controls felt there.
Uh-huh.
And I think we made a lot of good changes based on the feedback that we got to make it a more satisfying game.
So I want to go back to Misal. You are the artist behind all of this. So how did you take the vision that these guys came up with and even yourself and kind of realize it into what we see on the screen now?
Well, I went through quite a few concepts and then we just kind of brainstormed around. And then after we all agreed on a certain look for the characters and stuff.
And how would you describe that look?
Oh, short and stocky.
Okay.
Yeah. So after we, you know, came up with the concepts and, you know, brainstormed and everything, we just then, you know, went ahead and modeled and tried them out and see how they worked in the game. And we tried different sized heads at one point.
Right.
You know, big heads, little heads. And we decided just, you know, go with the cartoony exaggerated features.
Right.
So just, you know, to be seen in the screen at the size that they're going to be seen, because the camera tends to pan out a bit.
Right.
So, yeah, so we decided to go with the recognizable features of each character.
And how many different characters are there?
There's 12 right now. We're working on some more.
So, yeah, so you're working on more? Oh?
Yeah.
let's talk about that.
Well, I'm not really sure how much I can say.
You can say as much as you want. Well,
yeah, I kind of want to keep the job.
That's okay.
We are, you know, doing some downloadable content.
Yep.
Working on, you know, sketches at the moment. It's just, you know, really just kind of starting out. And
now, have you designed games before?
No.
So how did you get in? Because a lot of people that listen to the show, like I say, want to get into gaming. So how did you get where you are designing this cool game?
I'm a general artist.
Okay.
So, you know, I was doing commercials in Minnesota at the time. And then I decided Minnesota sucks and moved over here. I was here before the Minnesota, though.
So right.
It was weird. People in Minnesota are going to hate me now.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sure they're saying, yeah, he's right. It does suck.
Yeah, it does suck. Especially right now.
Especially right now in December.
They got to, you know, chip away at the ice from their car. No, so I came back here to Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, I've been moving back and forth from a lot of places, and I decided Seattle is nice. And so, you know, I wanted to see what was out there, so I threw my resume everywhere and my, you know, portfolio everywhere. And, you know, it just so happens that, you know, these guys took a look at it and liked what they saw.
And they liked your style.
Yeah, and they invited me over for another contract gig we were doing, and I did that, and then they invited me to stay for for Small Arms.
There you go. So you're the man behind the look of Small Arms. Now, Jacob, I want to go over to you for a second. We just kind of hinted at some of the downloadable content. I saw you're kind of tensed up there. So tell me a little bit. Give me a little bit of tease about what we can expect.
Yeah. So we built into the game the ability to download new levels and new characters.
Wait a minute. Now, you know, there's people listening right now. They're going, oh, they left it out of the game because it's you know, because they want more money out of us. What do you say to that? Because you're a gamer, obviously.
Well, we had levels that didn't go into the game, but that's because they sucked.
Right. Simple as that.
We cut them. And those levels aren't going to show up as downloadable content.
Right.
We're working on...
The suckage is gone.
Yeah. We're working on totally new stuff. And a lot of it's based on fan feedback. We've had a lot of fans ask us for larger levels.
Uh-huh.
And so we're looking at that. And we've got some sketches. It's still pretty early right now.
Right.
So we've got some sketches for what we want to do for some larger, you know, more interactive battles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to try a couple different directions as well and just keep seeing what people are interested in, because we've also seen that people have different tastes in the levels, which is what we were imagining early on. We sort of put in a diversity of levels. We have some very small ones, we have some interactive ones, we have some large ones, and some ones that just move quite a lot.
Yeah, there's a real range of the different levels that you guys have in the title, I noticed.
Yeah, and it's great, because there are people who say, I hate the moving levels, or
right.
There are people who say, I hate this level. I don't think we've got too many that are like, I love this one, but...
Yeah. Which one do you like?
I actually really like the tornado. I know that that's not... That tends to be something that not a lot of people like, but I thought it was just really fun to work on that.
And, right.
And I love the vast, you know, constantly changing environment in it.
So since you guys were, you're the three people that are behind this title, what is it like to design a level? I mean, what do? You come up, you're staring out the window, you say, you see a tornado and say, let's make a tornado level. Or how do you do that? How do you come up with a level?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to have to say that we had one other contractor work with us,
right.
Scott, and he did a lot of the level design.
Okay.
So the level design, we go through a process with it that we got better with later on.
Right.
So the first thing we do is just sketch it out on a sheet of paper in just line form, what we think the platforms are going to be that you'll jump around on.
Right.
Then once we're pretty happy with that idea, we take it into 3D Studio Max, which we use for our level editing, and design the gray block version, which is, you know, no art really to speak of.
It's gray blocks.
It's just gray blocks. It still looks good, though, because the lighting and the shadowing is
right.
Exactly done as it would be in-game. I still like a lot of the gray block levels as is. Yeah, and we're able to quickly move around platforms and see how the battle is impacted by that.
So it's like building blocks. You just kind of start stacking stuff together.
It's like playing with Lego.
It's like playing with Legos, that's just great. Electronically.
Yeah, and then once we have a basic shape like that, the next thing we do is try to script it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the levels have interactive portions, and that's all done through scripting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the next step.
And so when you say scripting, that's the code that makes the interactive pieces work.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. We have a scripting language that we use.
Because, I mean, you could put a door down or a platform, but in order to make that platform move, there has to be some code someplace that says, move this platform, and this is how far to move it.
Yeah, and it's complicated, too, because it has to be networked and
right.
All sorts of painful aspects of that. Yeah, so once we have the gray block, we go through and do final models on it, or a draft of the models.
Right.
And then once we like those, we can do the textures and... And then I've got to start looking at how to compress that.
Right.
So.
And so
usually it's taking out a lot of textures. And
so you put them all in and then take them all out.
Or just factoring them to find out like better textures to use in certain places that are going to compress better. Or.
So how long does it take from beginning design to when you're finally happy with it, or when it's, you know, when it's done?
Yeah.
Just in terms of a level.
Quite a while. It can be maybe 2 weeks or longer.
Wow.
Probably longer for actually most of the things in the game. I mean, if you figure that we had somebody working on them almost full time,
right?
It could certainly be about a month.
And you guys, you know, you also had the other thing is you didn't deliver on disk. You delivered electronically over Xbox Live Arcade, so you had to stay under that 50 megabyte limit.
Yep.
Which was that a challenge as well?
It's something we knew about from the beginning,
right.
When we first started the project. And we certainly had an engineering plan for it. a lot of that changed, like just figuring out what the 360 could do.
Right.
So, the technology has just been written from the ground up to handle that. So it wasn't a huge issue. It's mostly an issue with just trying to get in the art that we really want into the game.
Right.
And just trying to figure out how we can do it. But
yeah, you guys are, you know, really one of the few, in the past few weeks, one of the few original titles that's come out. Of course, we had Robo Blitz come out last week. You guys came out a couple, 3 weeks ago. So what was that like? Because you were seeing Defender and all these other things go up on arcade. So you guys really kind of set the holiday season with this original title.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Hopefully lived up to it.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, so one thing I also want to ask you about is a little bit about that a lot of people don't understand is the testing process. Tell me a little bit about what that's like, because you've got this great game together. Then what?
Yeah, well, we kind of had to figure that it was probably going to be about 2 months before, you know, by the last line of code that we could really write that would add something new to the game.
Right.
Probably another 2 months of testing and then certification before it would be ready. So the testing is a lengthy, iterative process.
Right.
I think we just send in new builds of the game to the testers constantly.
And they give you a list of here's some issues.
Yeah, exactly. And then once that starts getting down to no issues, then we can start looking at like what's really important and what's going to impact the game shipping. And then once we have it down to nothing, we send it off to certification, which is pretty much a black box to us, but it's just more testing.
Just more testing. It's black box to me too. We talked about all the different characters. There's 12 characters, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the different characters that people can play. Again, some people may be listening that haven't played the game before.
Yeah, so we wanted to give kind of a mixture with those as well. We have some characters that are kind of the cuddly animal that, you know, has a weapon. That's obviously like the most prominent feature of the character in the game. We wanted to do some others that were a little more human-like, although they're definitely very cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
So those are characters like Unit 51, you know, the Space Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Because
every game has to have a Space Marine.
Well, that's what we thought, too. It's an Xbox game. It needs a Space Marine.
Exactly.
And he's bald, too. So. And then we have Foxclaw, who's the ninja character in it. So these are the more humanoid characters in it. And then, in addition, we have kind of the bizarre characters.
Like?
So, well, Professor Von Braun is a favorite.
How'd you come up with that name?
It was a, you know, very mature naming decision.
Okay.
This is a character whose head has been replaced by a flaming paper bag.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'll let you fill in the blanks on that one.
Yeah. That must have been during dinner sometime. We were just joking.
Sometimes the best ideas come out of that.
Yep.
So you got a range of different characters. You know, are you surprised that, you know, one of the options on the main screen we're looking at here is leaderboards. Are you surprised at how well people are doing on the leaderboards? Did you expect that?
Yeah, we're absolutely amazed at the challenge mode leaderboards, which is...
Let's pull that up now, right now. And think, oh, we can't...
This is actually...
Yeah, this is your dev kit. We can't look at this.
We're looking at.
So what's the challenge mode? The challenge mode is...
Challenge mode is where you have... you choose one character at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and there's a constant stream of enemies that come in. It starts off with one at, like, the low level of AI, and it starts building up. So once you kill them, you know, I think it'll bring in somebody new.
Right.
But you don't really have access... I think you get a small trickle of ammo, and... then every 4 or 5 kills, you get what's called snack time, mm-hmm. which is where we rain down the health items.
Right, snack time. I like that.
Pieces of meat. but it gets quite hard as you go on, and so it's pretty difficult to even get the 50 kills achievement in challenge mode.
Right,
and we were worried that was going to be this achievement that people are going to have a lot of problems with. The leaderboards right now, I think the top person has 1,200 some kills.
Wow.
Amazing. We also, something to note with that, we keep a time in the leaderboards. We didn't figure that anybody would be playing this over an hour. So the time's not, it's not formatted for hours.
We're going to fix that?
Yeah, I think that might have to be a fix, considering how long people are playing this.
How long are they? They are playing it quite for some time.
Well, that 1200.1, I think, was 300 minutes, maybe more.
Wow.
So. Really? Okay. I'm just hearing 1700 now.
Wow. So whoever you are, wow.
We're amazed.
How did you come up with the achievements? Because that's obviously, the gamer score and the achievements is a cornerstone of Xbox 360 titles. How did you come up with the names and decide which ones didn't make it?
I'm going to pass off to Don for that.
Let's see. Well, we worked pretty heavily with the arcade team in coming up with the achievements because they had a lot of good feedback
right.
from other games about what sort of curve to put on them
right.
To have some that are easy enough that people will get a taste of it
yep.
early on and then save a couple that are just really
that you got to work for
the really hard ones the big accomplishments. So I guess a lot of the ones we have are there's some for kills in multiplayer,
right. well,
but just kills overall, 50 and 50 and 100 kills, and then there's some for getting combos. A combo in the game is when you get successive kills without dying in
yep.
between in a certain amount of time. So there's a 2x combo and a 5x
right.
combo achievement.
Right.
Some of the easier ones we hand out one for completing the training mode, which is a way we're able to drive people into to learn to play the game
right
and make sure that
because that's what a lot of people don't know about arcade titles is most of them have a fairly easy achievement you can get off the bat
mm-hmm.
so it kind of gets you sucked in
right
as it were, and that's what a lot of people ask well, how come the achievements why are the demos showing up on my list when I haven't unlocked it? Well, a lot of people don't know this is that if you get the achievement, you actually don't get it until you unlock it. So if you unlock right. it, you'll instantly get that achievement. So a lot of people don't know that. But anyway, but yeah, there's a lot of fun ones in here. Have you seen them all handed out yet? Or is there...
Some people have gotten all of them.
Okay.
There's a couple problems with the 50 and 100 wins achievements
okay.
that are going to be fixed in a patch that we're working on now.
Okay, so you guys are working on an update.
Yeah, people have been. We've heard every single person that has sent us an email about it. We know that you need those achievements.
And how do they get in touch with you?
They are very resourceful, okay. and they find a way.
Because God knows
we have forums.
Right.
We have our own forums, and we check the Xbox.com forums.
Yep. Good.
To sort of watch what people are saying, what issues are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the achievement thing is definitely something that we're getting fixed as quick as we can.
Good.
The one other achievement is the 6 degrees of small arms, which was our viral achievement.
Yep.
That spreads by playing. If you play someone who has the achievement, you get the achievement. So it was seeded with the four of us at
right.
Astronaut, and has spread outwards from there.
That's one of the ones I remember at E3 that got a lot of pickup. A lot of people were really into that one because they were like, "Well, this was an interesting use of an achievement."
It's gotten some good press for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like people have enjoyed it. I haven't heard of anybody having any problem getting the achievement, which is something
I have.
We were worried about. Really?
I have. Yeah, I don't have it yet.
Oh. we can fix that really quickly.
So.
We'll get the first level.
But, yeah.
And
we keep track of the levels in the player stats
right.
of the battle mode menus. So you can check out how close you are
right.
to the source.
Right.
So one means if you have a degree of one, that means that you've played directly against one of us.
Oh, and do a lot of people have that?
Not that.
So I think we need to.
We play a lot of games against fans, but
right.
We can't play that many.
Right.
So.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I think I need to get that. I need to get that issue so I can be level one, and then I'll be level two, and then everyone else will be level three for me that I play. Is
yep.
that the way it works?
If you have level one, then people that play against you will get two.
Got it. Okay.
So,
got it. Oh, that's kind of a cool achievement.
Mm-hmm. And the highest level we've seen so far, I think, was five. We put a call out on our leaderboard or on our forums to have people post in what their level is,
uh-huh.
and the highest we've seen someone with so far, I think, is five. But so, we're interested to see any numbers about how it spreads.
And how will it go up to six?
It'll just keep going.
Forever.
I think it'll format up to 99.
How do they find your forums? I want to make sure that
it's forums.gastronautstudios.com.
Okay. So people can go over there and they can, I'm sure they'll be posting up there when I put the interview up as well that, hey, the guys are up there.
We've got a nice community there.
Do you have anything you want to say to those guys now that we've got, you know, one another option to talk to them here in audio? Thank you for your support.
Yeah, that's a good way, a good thing. It really helped. The tail end of the development was, you know, a stressful time for us, and we got the forums up just as we were wrapping things up, and we already had people there talking with us that were excited about the game, that we could bounce ideas off of, and that we could just joke around with, and it was good stress relief towards the end of the project to have those people there and have that discussion when, you know, when we weren't leaving the office for days at a time.
Yeah, and kind of peeking to see what's going on.
It was a good social
outlet. So I want to ask the three of you, since you've gone through the process of developing a really fun game, a unique game that's successful as well, if you were starting over right now, what would you tell somebody who is starting to build a game? What are some of the tips you'd give them? You know, people that just downloaded the XNA Studio and they're starting to drag and drop a game together.
Right. Yeah. The most important thing for us at the beginning of the project, I think, was just keeping in a reasonable scope. We designed the game knowing that it was going to be on arcade.
Right.
We designed it to be something you could get into quickly, play a match quickly, and then maybe, you know, go back to Gears of War or whatever you're going to spend 4 hours straight playing.
Right.
We also planned something that we knew a small team could develop to sort of keep it manageable, and that was an important step, I think, at the beginning of the process. Anything else?
No. Before, actually, we're gonna wrap it up. Before I have you handle the mic, your gamer tag.
I
always ask everyone their gamer tag, so I'm gonna write around all of you.
Fair
guys.
Enough. Well, the important one is the company. We have a company gamer tag that we all play on at the office.
Right.
And this is, you know, on our TV.
Yep. Sitting right here.
Our friends' names are popping up all day long on the friends list, and that's Gastronauts with an S at the end.
Simple as that.
Yep. And
that's the most important one.
That's the one that we play with at the office. I have one that's Gastronaut Don that I have at home.
That you're playing against. So you're going to get a ton of people messaging you from this.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Jacob, so tell me about, before I ask you your gamer tag, tell me, you know, you've, this is now your second game.
Yep.
So what, you know, what would you offer somebody out there who's listening right now who wants to write a game?
Well, I would definitely reiterate what Don said. Keeping things in scope for the team that you have is just the most important idea to take home with that. I've been working on games as a hobbyist for a long time before I finally started putting games out for commercial systems, and I never managed the scope of the game properly until I got to Fuzzy Fever, until I came up with a game that I could actually finish.
Right.
And I think that's really important, to just finish it, and not only finish it, but finish it with a lot of room left over to be able to polish, you know, polish.
So it's not just good enough to finish; you also need a little bit of headroom there.
You need some headroom because the polishing takes a long time, and I think that's just one of the most important steps in game development.
Yeah, that can come out.
A lot of commercial games don't even get around to doing, but it's important.
So we're going back to you, though. But Misal, I want to ask you, what this is your first game, so what would you tell somebody as an artist?
You know what? I kind of would still like some advice myself. No, I'm not too sure. Just kind of keep at it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Persistence. That's good.
It pays off.
That's good. Well, we'll go back to Jacob. What, you know, this, like I said, this is your second game. Tell us, I want to wrap it up nicely and talk about, so you guys are working on downloadable content. Just give me a high level what that means.
Okay. Like I said, we can download characters and levels into the game, not weapons, unfortunately. That's not something that we were able to do early on. But the levels are we're going to try to do a, you know, big variety of levels in the downloadable content, and they should be even more action packed than.
Are they going to be individual levels or like a bunch of levels all bundled up together? Or haven't figured it out yet?
We're not totally sure. It's probably you'll be able to get levels and characters together in pretty small amounts. I'm not really certain now, but we've been talking about two levels and two characters together.
That's cool.
And the characters and levels will actually match each other, so we'll actually have sort of these levels that are designed around what the character is.
Oh, that's fun.
So it should.
And then you also have you working on more gamer pictures or themes.
Yeah, we should have some more gamer picks and themes out. I know that the that people really enjoyed the glazed ham.
Yeah, so that was far. I think that was the best gamer picture ever, is what I saw someone posted.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of fun with making the art for the game for those meats, so we thought it would be great to have that on a gamer pick.
So you're gonna have more luncheon style.
I think there might be some more meats coming up. Is that right?
Yeah.
There's a lot more out there.
There's a lot more meat in the game.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, I appreciate you guys. I'm thank you for letting me into your studio. It's just interesting to look around and see how a small studio works. I mean, you got four desks and, you know, a bunch of 360s, and you guys are just I'm getting the sense that during the last few weeks, you never really left this room.
Yeah, is that
an accurate statement?
True. Yep. Probably a little more than the last few weeks. We're a really small studio, so it just, you know, when you have to do a whole game, it takes a lot of time of each of us. So
if you want to check it out, Gastronaut Studio, Small Arms, how many points is it?
It's 800 points.
It's 800 points. How'd you come up with that number? Did you just kind of look at it and say?
Well, I think Arcade has like three price points that they offer at, and we wanted the game to be really affordable. So.
And you did.
So 800 was what we wanted.
So 800 points. It's up there now. Download it. Jacob, Don, Misal, I appreciate you guys having me over, and I look forward to seeing what you guys come up with in the future. And I promise, I want that achievement.
Yeah.
I want number two. All right.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, so there you go. That was the interview with Gastronaut Studios. Thank you to Jacob, Don, and Misal. I don't know if you knew this, but they did, as was mentioned in the interview, they did Fuzzy Fever. Was it Don or Jacob? I think it was Jacob was the guy behind Fuzzy Fever.
And that's one I haven't played.
So that's from that's old school Xbox style. One of the coolest achievements, you know about this achievement, right? The 6 Degrees achievement?
Yes.
So they were telling me about that. We talked about that in the interview. I need to add them to my friends list. So I can get that achievement. God darn it. All right. We're cooking along here. What else do we have to do today?
Well, actually, that brings up something I want to ask you. So
yes.
I know how I feel about this, but I don't remember if you've ever told me. Achievements or gamer score? What's more of a rush? What makes you keep playing a game? Is it the gamer score or is it the achievement?
Probably the achievement.
That's what it is for me too.
Probably the achievement, because the achievements gamer score is very linear in terms of, you know, you're gonna get, it's just gonna keep growing. Whereas the achievements, when you get the nudge in Gears, there's just some cool stuff that's really quantifiable that I really like about specific ones. Or in Star Trek, the red shirt achievement.
I need to go get that.
Right. So Star Trek Legacy. I like the creativity around the achievements. So probably the achievements, I'd have to say, as is evident by my gamer score.
Yeah, you were kind of surprised yesterday when you realized just how far ahead of you I am.
Yeah, I was a little stunned. You're like 9, and I'm like...
I'm sorry?
Well, you know, I'm playing all the games under that other tag before they're released, and you can't move them over, so...
Right.
So, hey, let's talk about the reminders. You were telling me about this before we started recording. We're going to start letting people know when their accounts expire.
Yes. We've implemented some new messaging. So... those of you who've been around for a long time may remember in the early Xbox One days, we used to actually occasionally send messages out to the console to all of our customers. And we stopped doing that for a while we changed some technical things around on the back end. We're now doing that again.
Right.
So you may fire up your Xbox 360 someday and go into your messages queue and find that there's a message from Xbox Live. We just sent one out day before yesterday, I think it was, to a number of people saying, hey, just a reminder, you've got 2 weeks before your gold subscription expires. So if you want to renew, you can do it this way or you can do it this way.
So we're going to start letting... So you may get these system-level messages in your inbox or in your messages from the user is Xbox Live, which is the system.
Right. And you'll also get some of those coming from my team. So if we're going to do something that's going to affect you, like... You know, some night, Tuesday at 2 a.m., hey, sorry, everyone, but we're going to take the system down for an hour to do some maintenance. We'll do our best to get a message out to everyone ahead of time so you know it's coming.
Can I send messages?
Around it. No.
Come on.
No.
All right. I got to find out where this tool is. So,
no.
So if you get a message from Xbox Live, it is alive. That's why. Oh, boy. So we talked about... we've actually got a whiteboard here, and we wrote down some of the things that we're talking about. So we talked about the Wii and the DS. I had a funny story. I think I told you this. My mother called me, And she said, "What's this Brain Age game?"
Yeah.
My mother. I was like, "Wow, Nintendo, you guys are really doing some wild stuff there with the, you know, with broadening." This is, you know, my mother who lives in, retired and live in Florida, wants to play Brain Age.
And I've seen a ton of Brain Age commercials on TV lately.
Yeah.
The one with the guy who gets introduced to someone he went to high school with.
Right.
Can't remember the
name.
And next thing you know, he's playing Brain Age.
Voila. So that's fun. And then I got to find a Wii, so... And I'm sure there's going to be a GameStop guy someplace who's going to email me and say, "Oh, we're getting the order," and so on and so forth. I'll get around to it.
Come wait in line for two.
Yeah, come. No, I'm not waiting. Major Nelson's not waiting in line. Speaking of that, I went to the Penny Arcade dinner the other night.
Child's Play.
Child's Play dinner, which is a great thing. The Child's Play, it's a great event run by the guys over at Penny Arcade, where they collect money for various hospitals. And I went to the auction. So Gabe and Tycho were up on stage auctioning stuff off. This is a true story. I don't know if I told you this. So we're there, and they had wonderful prizes. I mean, they had stuff. I sat next to some of the guys from Bungie. Frankie was sitting at another table because he doesn't like sitting with me. And so we're sitting at the table, and I'm sitting with guys from GameTrailers.com on my table. Wonderful prizes, and they're going through some of the auctions after the silent auction was over. And they had a PS3. And basically no one wanted to bid on it. It was like a low bid of $300. And somebody, I think it ended up going for $600, but it was like a little surprising.
I mean, some of the things went for a lot of money.
Yeah, there was a voiceover. The guys from Rooster Teeth, who do Red versus Blue, bought a voiceover, you know, the ability to say some lines in Halo 3 for, I think it was $8,000 or $9,000.
Nine something.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like crazy. And then, this is actually a pretty funny story, one of the last items to be auctioned off on stage from Gabe and Tycho was... whoever the winner was would be able to appear in a Penny Arcade comic.
Oh.
So they would draw you into the comic, which is kind of cool. So right before they stopped the bidding, I stood up in the middle of the room. I said, "Stop." And I yelled out to Gabe and Tycho. I said, "How much would it cost me not to be in one of your cartoons?" So think about that when you'll get it, people.
In case everyone hasn't figured it out, right. We're big fans.
Right. So, yeah, we love the guys over there at Penny Arcade. All right, so anyway, so that was a great Child's Play event. So if you know, and what's great about it is if you can't, you can actually go up to their website, go to penny-arcade.com, and if you're not in the Seattle area, and that's what's great about gaming is that it's global. So if, even if you're not in the Seattle area, you can participate in the Child's Play. And I'm gonna
And what they do, I mean, putting video games in hospitals for kids who are sick and need something to take their mind off it. It's a pretty great cause.
Yeah, so if you go over to childsplaycharity.org, that's childsplaycharity.org, you'll see a whole list of places. And they're around the world. Like, they're in Australia. Where is this? Where is this one?
Australia?
No, so I know Australia. I know where that is. Canada, I think I know where that is. England. And this one looks like, is this Saudi Arabia? It's crazy. So go over there and you can check out. And they've, so far, as of today, they've raised over $760,000 due to your help. So thank you very much on behalf of Gabe and Tycho at Penny Arcade. So that's Child's awesome. Play, great stuff.
So I think we're getting a table next year. So
we are?
But, well, I guess I should say I think I'm getting a table next year.
You are?
But now I'm wondering, do we want you at our table, or are we going to put
you at
the...
So let me tell you that story. So I ended up sitting at the front row with
the old people.
With the front table with Robert, who was one of their managers, Gabe and Tycho's manager. Nice guy. I've known Robert for a while. And we go up, we sit down, and we're in a table. It's probably like 20 or 30 tables in this room. And I've got my business cards, and we all sit down, and we start introducing each other at this table, and we're passing out business cards. I mean, that's what you do.
Okay.
When you meet people and you want to, so it's called networking.
You were at an industry table.
I was industry table, and all the gamers around us are looking at us, going, "What the hell's going on over there?" Because we're just handing out cards. We're getting to know who these people are. So it's kind of funny. But I got to tell you something. There's some people wearing some clothes that night that probably shouldn't have been wearing those clothes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
it was kind of like at the Xbox holiday party.
Right.
I mean, you were dressed up. I was dressed up. I had a nice suit on.
Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
I talked about it. So I record. Oh, that's right, because I recorded my last show, which is 2 weeks ago, the day after. That was a wild party. It was in downtown Seattle.
Yes. I should actually rephrase myself. It's no longer the Xbox holiday party. There's too many people there. There were Xbox people there. There were Zune people there.
Right.
There was a lot of people from different
Speaking of Zune, are you going to bring your Zune with you to CES?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it with me, see if we can find some other people with Zunes and Strayed stuff.
Oh, am I going to carry it around on the floor?
Yeah.
Now, that I may not do.
Come on.
I put my camera in my pocket. That's
so let's talk about CES.
Okay.
So CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is the second week of January. It's in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And if you like gadgets, you have got to go to the Consumer Electronics
Show. This place is crazy. You and I went last year. I was working in the Xbox booth. I don't have to work this year. I'm going, and we're going to shoot some videos. But it's so phenomenally huge in terms of the scope. First of all, Las Vegas Convention Center, huge.
Well, and to set the context for all the gamers who are listening, it's much bigger than E3.
Oh, by 2, 3, 4, 5-fold.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, and they've got everything. They've got a whole section for car gadgets. So whether you're putting rims on your car, radio in your car, GPS in your car, satellite radio, they've got a whole section just for that.
Yeah.
And then they've got the display. I mean, basically anything that has batteries or plugs in the wall, it's at the show.
Yes.
I wonder if they're going to have those great toilet seats from Japan that I rave about.
Okay, moving on. Last year, we spent a bunch of time in the Samsung booth.
That's right.
At displays. That was very cool.
Right.
We almost broke that one giant prototype.
So let me tell you this story. So we're at the booth. And the center of the – so first of all, their booth is enormous, just like the Microsoft booth. We got a huge booth this year. And they had all the different lines of – they've got mobile phones. Samsung makes a ton of stuff now.
Well, but the cool part was the display.
Right, the cool for the display people. And so you and I were looking for displays.
Yes.
We go to the center, and you walked into this area that was probably about 30 or 40 feet in diameter. And they had – in each quadrant, it was kind of sliced up so that each quadrant had
– And they had – DLP, LCD, plasma.
So what was that? What was the third? What was the fourth one? DLP, LCD, plasma. There's a fourth one. Was it the backlit LED?
That was just one TV. They had the LED backlit DLP.
Remember the four that they had in that room that we walked in? Anyway, so we go into this room. They were huge. They're like 80, 90, 100 inches. And I had met one of the guys from Samsung. And I said, hey, why don't we do this? After hours, because at that point, the Xbox had been on the market for a month and a half.
Yes.
So they were still fairly new. And I said, I'll get an Xbox 360. I'll come over here after the show closes, and can we hook it up to one of these controllers? Because I wanted to play Cameo or some of the new games.
And this was the one, was this the 80-inch one we were looking at?
I think it was.
It was the 80-inch DLP.
Yeah, it was the 80-inch DLP. So I remember he said...
Plasma.
Was it plasma?
It was 80-inch something.
It was one of these crazy things. So I remember you're with me, and we're sitting there, and we're like, yeah, this would be great. We'll come over after the show closes. We'll talk to the Samsung guys. We'll get him in. So we found the guy. Remember his title was like a display manager or something.
VP for displays of
right.
North America.
So he recognized us, or at least me. And I said, this is what we want to do. He's like, oh, that's a great idea. Let me go see what we can do. And I said, well, in the meantime, we're going to go see what kind of input you have. You know, you got components. You got SVHO. What do you got?
Because we want to make sure we bring the right cables
right,
to the Microsoft booth.
Because
they're a long ways apart.
Right. They are a long ways apart. They're a city apart.
Yeah. So this is when, you know, I'm the techie. It's like, okay, I'm going to figure out what's going on.
Right.
I'm going to get behind the TV. And
now, mind you,
on.
There's two guards at each television at each end.
Yes.
So you can't get too close to them. And there's like a velvet rope. So you're allowed to go over the rope.
We were talking to Mr. Samsung guy. So we were able to slip behind the rope without getting, you know, garroted by the security guards.
Right.
And the TV was on this stand that was probably, you know, 5 feet tall, something like that. So
right.
I kind of hop up on it and lean way back behind the TV when I realize that this is obviously a prototype because in the back, there's no back to the TV. There's breadboards and circuitry and cables running all
right.
over the place, at which point I decided I'm not touching this.
Yeah, we decided we didn't want to ruin their display for the rest of E3. So
yeah, it was a gorgeous unit. But
maybe this year we can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
I'm going to give it a shot. They're going to have some great stuff. I need a new display, so I'm going shopping.
So so CES is coming up. I'm going down for Xbox. You're actually taking time off to go down.
Just like I did last year.
Just like you did
going
last
down
year.
With the girlfriend.
So we're going to go see. We got a ton of stuff to see. We got to look at phones.
Well, we both have new phones, though.
Right.
We both just got shiny phones in the last month.
Yeah, we got the T-Mobile Dash.
Which, if you're a gadget person, the Dash is awesome.
So you've got the Dash. I actually have the HTC version of that.
Which is, they're the OEM that makes the Dash.
Right,
so you've got the vanilla version.
I got the vanilla version.
The T-Mobile, you know, colorized version.
So we love our Dash. So we're going to go look see what new phones are.
This is, for people that are into phones, this is kind of what smartphones always should have been.
Right.
The technology just wasn't mature enough yet. This is a great device. It works. It's consistent. It's fast. The form factor is awesome. And they even got little touches, right? Like, the back of it, it has this nice little rubbery texture, so it doesn't get slippery and you drop it.
Or, more importantly, you can charge it off a standard mini USB.
Yes, you just plug it right into your laptop. That's actually during the power outage. When my phone started running down, my laptop was fully charged. I had turned it off because I couldn't do anything with it since I had no internet.
Right.
So I fired the laptop back up, plugged the phone into it, recharged the phone.
And you're off to the races.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll look at phones. We're going to look at, I can't wait. So I bought the GPS, the new V360.
Right.
The Garmin. Because you have the original Garmin.
I've got a C340, I think.
And you've got the C340, and I've got I bought the new Nuvi for my wife. And because a lot of people that listen to the show actually sent me emails, look at that one or the TomTom. I ended up going with the Garmin because apparently they have better maps. That's what some people in GPS land tell me. So that is a great device. That actually helped me out during the power outage.
How so?
Because I remember this because, you know, everyone's in panic mode. They're looking for gas.
Right.
So and of course, because when the power's out, gas stations don't work. So I happened to go to an area that had gas, and I was like, okay. And I wasn't that familiar with the area, so I said, just hit gas, and it found me all the gas stations. First one I went to, lines. Second one I went to, lines. And as we said, I don't wait in lines. Third, bam, no lines, pulled right in, got it. So I've never heard of any of these gas stations. So I love this device. So that was the GPS. And then I just got a Sirius device. I got the Stiletto.
See, I've got an old Sirius radio, the Sportster.
Right.
Which it has one really cool feature. The whole reason it's called the Sportster, so I got mine just when the NFL got really big on Sirius.
Right.
And that's why I bought it, was to listen to NFL games when I was driving. And you tell it what your favorite team is, and it will jump to the channel that your team is on.
Right.
So, you know, you tell it, hey, my favorite team's the Eagles, the Seahawks, whatever, and it, hey, the game's on right now. You turn it on, and it goes, oh, Eagles game is on 7:23. And
see, so the Stiletto has that, and I just got it last night because I do the satellite radio show, or I co-host it.
You're the man. You're everywhere.
Right, because I'm man of all media, me and Howard. So I did the show, and I finally told him.
Are you going to be on, Howard?
I got to talk to that. You know, I used to work with Howard.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that now, but I used to work with Howard.
Okay.
What I want to, so my device has that function. I just turned it on this morning, so I haven't even had time to play with it yet, because they sent me one. I said, hey, if you want me to be on the show, I need to have a device. So the guy who's the producer actually bought it and sent it to me. They didn't send it to me.
Right. But now you can talk intelligently about Sirius.
Right. So, but I got it, and it's really nice. It has the same thing, but I'm thinking, you know, if you're such a hardcore Oregon fan like you are, you know when they're on, and you're going to go right to them.
But see, here's the catch. So, yeah, I really don't want to talk about, you know, Oregon after the Las Vegas.
Yeah, what happened last night?
So not many people know this, but actually the Ducks didn't make the flight. There was a problem with all the weather, but the uniforms were there, so a local high school team put our uniforms
on.
Got
it.
And, yeah.
Right.
Anyways, I drive down to Eugene for the University of Oregon home games, which is like a 5.5-6 hour drive.
Right.
So I go down Friday night or Saturday morning. I watch the game. I stay Saturday night.
Right.
And then I come back on Sunday. Which means on those weekends, I'm missing the NFL, and I'm a football nut.
Right.
So I bought the Sirius radio, basically, so on the drive back, instead of being massively bored and missing all the games, I can listen to the games.
Okay. Duly noted.
So it makes me feel kind of stupid, because I'm paying for the NFL on the radio and on the TV, on my DirecTV, but I'm a football
nut. Their business
model.
That's what I do. So the final thing is, yesterday I just bought the Canon camera. You have the new Canon.
I have the SD700IS.
And I just got the 800IS.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have it yet. It's coming next
You've
week.
You've spent money, and eventually it will arrive.
It's going to be on its way. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff. We got gadgets. We got phones. We got all sorts. But, I mean, some of the stuff they have at this, the show is so unmanageable. Because the coolest thing there could be literally 5 feet away, but you'd never know it. You'd walk right by it.
Yeah.
You can't even, it's the show's enough.
I've got 2 full days to walk the show floor.
That's not enough.
No. And I know I'm going to get, some of the stuff I'm going to get covered. I'll get my TV stuff covered. I'll look around the Microsoft booth while I'm there. I probably won't see anything new, but I want to see what the booth looks like, what people think. I'll check out some phones and some other gadgets and stuff. But yeah, I'll miss a ton of stuff too.
But the one thing I would like to bring up is that we are having a community party at an Xbox community party. We're not going to say what night it is or what day it is or where it is yet, because those details are TBD, but I have confirmed it with the folks over at PR that they're having we're going to have a community party, kind of like the C3 at E3 event that we used to have.
Right. And I'm going to be crashing this party at TBD location.
So this will be fun. So if you're an Xbox 360 owner or wannabe owner, or even just a fan of the community, and you're going to be at CES attending it, I don't know if I assume we're going to allow people from Las Vegas to be there as well. You know, if you just live in local Las Vegas, then you can come by as well. But that's we're going to be having that. So I'll give you details of that coming up.
Well, we should probably actually point out, though, if you want to go to CES, whether you're in Vegas or whatever, you can't just walk in.
Yeah.
You have to go to the website. You have to register. You have to have one form of photo ID plus one piece of industry ID, I think, to get in.
Yeah.
It can be like a business card, something
right.
like that.
So that's also important. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me there. So that's a gadget. We're just churning through our list. So I want to do Name the Game now. This is actually a payoff for a Name the Game that we did a couple weeks ago. So I want to roll that for you right now, and then we'll come back and we'll do the payoff. But this is actually, we're not going to do a Name the Game until next year. So this is where Name the Game is going to take a couple weeks off for the holiday.
I could make some sound effects and pretend it's
no,
a game.
No, that's okay.
I have a theme song to a game on my phone.
Nope. We'll listen to that in a second. So here's the Name the Game clip from a couple of weeks ago. All right, so that was Name the Game. That was the last Name the Game of 2006. And E, that was pretty easy. You think you know what that was?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
because for the people at home listening to this, yeah, you're going to splice that in later, so I didn't actually get to hear it.
That was Splinter Cell Double Agent. Splinter Cell Double Agent.
So why don't you go ahead and hear all the winners. Go ahead and...
Okay.
Go ahead and...
So
go ahead and...
We have a fishbowl full of envelopes.
Yep.
I'm going to put my arm into the fishbowl, and there is the cold envelope. And
right.
Take that out and open it up. And the winner is Neo Suplex, NeoSuplex.
So Neo Suplex, congratulations. You grabbed yourself an Air Force X1 headset from Turtle Beach for the Name the Game. Thank you very much for that. And as I said earlier, that is the last Name the Game for this year. Name the Game is going to take a couple weeks off.
Cool.
It needs to relax.
It needs to rest, yeah.
It needs to rest, and frankly, it's you know, it's time it had a rest.
It's
so.
A hard-working segment. It's earned.
It is. It's one of the... It is a hard-working segment that apparently a lot of people have ripped off. I don't know this, but a lot of gaming podcasts apparently do this now.
Or did they call it Name the Game?
I don't know what they call it, but that's I get emails all the time. I mean, I was on... I didn't tell you this. I posted this last week. I was on the OXM podcast. Those guys challenged me to some Gears of War. Are you up for that? Do you want to help me?
Absolutely.
All the maybe, you know, maybe you and I should get two members from the community, and we'll do a 4-on-4 against the guys from OXM.
Okay. Can they be ringers from the community? I know.
I didn't say they wouldn't be.
Okay. Awesome. Ace, if you're out there,
yeah.
Warm up.
So that's kind of it. So next week, we're kind of wind it up for this week. Wow, we've gone 48 minutes already.
That's it.
So next week is kind of an interesting show for a couple of reasons. It's so just to let everyone know, next week is the last show of the year. I will have a show. And what I'm doing is it's going to be I've kind of got the same conference room as here, maybe a different one, and I've blocked it off for a couple hours next week. And we're going to have I've sent an invite out to a bunch of people here that are going to come by. Like you're going to be here, Trixie's going to come by, so people have plenty of opportunity to block their ears.
Yes, I don't understand that, but yes.
I've got Let's Kill Dave. I think is going to come by from letskilldave.com.
Okay.
Andre from Ozymandias. I've asked him to come by.
Sure.
Scott Henson, who's always always good for a laugh. You know, he's the Charles Nelson Reilly of this podcast.
Wow. Okay.
He may come by. I think he's out of town though. And then I've got a whole bunch of other people that are going to come by as well. John and Tony from the Gamerscore blog, and whoever else is over there. So we're just going to sit around and talk about best games of the year.
I wonder if this will be as good as that last roundtable we did.
So yeah, let me tell you what happened there. So you had to bring that up.
Yes, I did.
So last year, it was about a year ago. It was a year ago.
Was it last year or the year before?
No, it was last year.
Okay.
We were sitting in this conference room, and it was you and me and Rednecks who worked on the team, Green Johnny, and yep. I think Trixie. And we had yes, it was because here's why. So I recorded this show, and it was a great show. We went about
it was
an hour.
An awesome show.
It was a great show. Well, here's what happened. The next week, I had to leave for CES.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I went home, and I was running the beta version of Vista. And I had a totally separate hard drive for it. And I would swap the hard drives in and out of my laptop, that old Dell XPS that I had. And what happened is I was playing around. I had the show on one of the hard drives, and it was fine. Everything was fine. I shut down Windows. Went in, was playing around with Vista, which is, you know, a year ago. It was a long time ago for Vista. And I was playing around with it, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I, you know, I shut it down and wanted to go back because I wanted to edit the show. Well, Vista has this shutdown schema or something that was kind of screwed up. So I swapped the hard drives, and I boot up. I hit the power button to boot up into Windows XP, and I see the Vista logon screen, and I panic.
Oops.
So apparently I never shut it off. It went to sleep.
Yeah, just to be clear, this wasn't Vista's fault.
This was entirely end-user error. And Vista woke up and was apparently churning through my hard drive going, where's my files, to wake up, and didn't find them and kept ripping through my files. And I had to leave for CES like the next day, so I had to flatten the machine, rebuild it, and the show was gone forever. So that is the lost episode.
And it was the best show ever.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, it was. I was there. It was pretty awesome.
Right. All right. So next week we've got a pretty good show. We're gonna have a bunch of folks stop by, maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe 15 minutes if Trixie's hitting the eggnog. I don't know how long it's gonna be.
Eggnog.
That's not so much.
Okay, I'll bring some drinks in.
Yeah, eggnog. People that don't know what eggnog is, go look it up on Wikipedia. It's this weird holiday thing.
Yeah, I don't actually like eggnog, but I've got some other stuff in my office. It's not half bad.
So that's kind of what's next week. And then also next week, I'm going to post, you know, on the weekly, I post the top games of the week. Next week, I'm going to post the top Xbox 360 games of 2006. So we're going to look at the entire 12 months of all the data that you guys have sitting on the servers, probably in that room that we were just in, and we're going to see what the top games are of 2006.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting.
So that'll be a fun conversation.
I'm curious to see how what I've personally played maps against that.
But against what everyone else has played. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up now. So I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net. Do they provide MajorNelson.com with a secure and assured hosting environment? Thank you very much, guys. I also want to thank CashFly. CashFly for their services. They're partly responsible for making sure that when you want this podcast, you can get it because they're being cached around the world. Do you want to explain what caching is?
Sure.
Since we've got you in the room and you're a caching expert.
What? Yes, I'm a caching expert. Exactly. So caching basically is putting the content where you need it before you need it. So instead of having one server, one bank of servers, say sitting in Seattle, having all the content, you spread servers all around the world, get them as close to your customers as you can, and put the content on those.
Right.
So that way the end user gets a better experience because the content's close to them.
Right. Physically closer to them.
Yes. Well, it's actually not physically. It's closer from a network point of view.
From a network point
of
view.
So the path that your packets take as they leave your cable modem to get to the data and back. You want that as close to the user as possible.
Right.
And also you want to make sure that, you know, hey, when everyone's going for that Major Nelson podcast or Halo 3 trailer, that they're not all trying to go to one place.
And you do caching on the service on Xbox Live.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to.
When you go to the video marketplace or the regular Xbox Live marketplace or the Zune marketplace,
yep,
that content can be coming from any one of dozens of locations.
So you guys use a different service, but I use CashFly, and I want to thank those guys. They're great, and ever since we moved over to them, everyone's been able to get their podcasts lickety-split.
That's good.
Which is a good thing. I think last check between 70 to 100,000 downloads.
That's pretty good.
It's good. We do okay. So anyway, thank you for everyone there. So anyway, we're going to wrap it up now. Hopefully you're having a good holiday. I'm going to post this as quick as I can, so have a nice Christmas if you celebrate Christmas or whatever you're celebrating. Do you have anything you want to say?
How about just happy holidays, everybody?
Yeah, Merry Christmas. So anyway, this is Larry here from Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading my show. I'm going to say have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint if necessary. And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, E.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What are we rambling about?
It's after showtime.
Dun 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 dun.
So oh,
wait, I'll lead us into the after show.
What are you gonna play? It's party time. People are angry with you right now.
How can you be angry about Viva Pinata?
So let's be clear why you have that. That's your ringtone.
That's one of my ringtones.
That I made for you. So I made that ringtone.
You did splice this up for me on your handy audio editor. One of the things I actually really like about Windows smartphones, you can have personal ringtones. So you can assign to a contact, when this person calls, play this ringtone. When everyone else calls, they get the default. And you can have a separate ringtone for every...
Go ahead. I'm listening.
A separate ringtone for every contact in your list if you want to.
Really?
Yes.
That's right.
You did not know this?
I do remember this. But more importantly, what I'm doing right now, I'm calling to see what my ringtone is.
That's the default.
I don't even have a custom ringtone?
No, you're getting Big Machine by Goo Goo Dolls. I only have one custom ringtone.
Yeah,
because
I know.
There's really only one purpose to this.
Mm-hmm.
I always use a Bluetooth headset.
Right.
So my phone's in my pocket, and I have a headset. And there's a custom ringtone for my girlfriend so that when she calls, it's like, okay, I want to get that.
Right.
For anyone else,
maybe, yeah, maybe not. I don't. That's right. I know. I have a friend of mine who has custom ringtones on his phone, and whenever his wife calls, he plays the Darth Vader theme. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah, that could get you in a little bit of trouble.
I think it could get
so
in trouble.
So, do you want your own ringtone? I will give you your own ringtone.
I know. You know what? We're gonna hand it out there, folks. What should my ringtone be on E's mobile phone?
Oh boy.
Yeah. And be nice. Come on.
Yeah, my 9-year-old might hear this.
So that was thank you for coming in and hanging out with my show. So you and I are like the only people in here.
Just about. There's the guys downstairs in the Zoc. Why can I not talk today? And that's about it.
But next week will be a big show, so this will be cool. So CES, if you're going to be at CES, let us know. We'd love to see you. I'll be there. Like I say, I'm not working the Xbox booth. I'll be running all over the floor doing crazy stuff, shooting some cool videos.
And I'm just doing the Vegas thing.
A
couple of days, checking out the show. We've got tickets to go see Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, I really want to go see Cirque. Do we have anybody out there that can get me into Cirque du Soleil?
No. I just paid a fortune for two tickets in the temple.
I don't want two. I want one.
Yeah, but I paid a fortune. You can pay two.
I didn't say I wouldn't pay. I didn't say I wouldn't pay.
If you're going when we're going, you have to sit somewhere else.
I really want to see. I saw Cirque in Florida, and I loved it. All right, everyone's going, what's Cirque du Soleil? There's a lot of people that don't hear it, so go look it up.
I'm not even going to try and explain Cirque du Soleil. This will actually be my first time seeing them in person. My girlfriend's seen them multiple times.
All right, I'm going to go cut this show up and get this thing up, so.
There was something I wanted to talk about in the after show. What was it?
I don't know.
If I had told you, then you'd probably know and you could help me remember.
Well, we'll have next week, so.
Okay.
That's the end of the after show.
We
use these new. Do you like these new mics?
These are cool.
These are my RE50 D-Bs.
Ooh, D-Bs.
You know what I really want? You know what I really want?
An F15E.
The is it the 50B? I think it's the
no D is better because that's like farther up the alphabet. It's almost all the way to E, which would be the best.
Or so he says.
Yes.
What I really want, I think it's the EN 950. I gotta here talk for a second. Let me go look this one up. I want to tell you.
Okay.
It's a microphone that is probably, in for my money, the coolest microphone in the world. So
I'm not sure that microphones can really be cool. I mean, handheld gaming systems, smartphones, you know, maybe cars, you know, big TVs, things like that. Those are cool. Hidden achievements.
So it's the ECM 51.
Okay.
This was, it's a Sony microphone, and it
See,
was...
you don't hate Sony.
No, not at all. They make some good stuff. The ECM-51, it's actually the one that Bob Barker uses on The Price is Right, the really long one that they used to use on the Match Game.
I haven't watched Price is Right.
Let me see if I got a picture of it.
But
I can't see it, so it looks like here, it looks like this.
Okay. Don't drop your laptop. Oh.
Remember that?
That's just a really scary picture.
That's it. So anyway, so if anybody has... So I'm serious now. If anybody has any idea where I can get myself a Sony ECM-51 microphone, email me, because I can't find one and I want one.
Do they still make them?
Yeah, they do. You know what? I don't know. I searched. Yeah, I did the Google thing and blah, blah, blah. I can't find it anywhere. Cannot find an ECM-51 anywhere on this planet.
That's one thing we were going to talk about. We talked about this yesterday when we first came up with the idea for the show.
Right.
Was we were going to talk about POSA cards.
Oh, yeah. You know, we'll talk about those next week. Because okay. this needs to be in the main show.
Okay.
We need to talk about POSA cars.
For people who are wondering, what on earth is POSA? That's point of sale activation.
These are the new Xbox Live cards, points and whatnot, that have a magnetic strip on the back.
So if you go to the grocery store, chances are when you walk up there, if you look at the counter, they have gift certificates for a million places. Barnes & Noble, The Gap, whatever. We've now got cards like that for Xbox
Live. But they're all useless. Because they have to be activated.
They have to be activated by the cashier. Otherwise, they're no good because they want to keep people from walking out with big stacks of them. So be careful if you're buying these things on eBay. You don't know what you're getting, and it's entirely possible you're paying, you know, however much for a little piece of cardboard that is absolutely valueless.
Yep. So we'll talk about that in the main show next week. But in the meantime, people, find me an ECM51. I know you can. I know you've got it.
And find me a ringtone that does a good job of mocking Major Nelson.
Please. All right. That's all. After show done. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good holiday.